Good morning, everybody. This is Buzz Fleischman with a special edition of On the Record and Off the Wall. We've got Joe Pera on the line, exploding on the comedy scene nationally. Joe joins us on a special presentation this morning. Esquire just named him one of 10 comedians to watch in 2017, best known for his appearances on Late Night with Seth Meyers and Conan O'Brien. He's got a great special on the Adult Swim channel, Joe Pera Talks You to Sleep. I know. Joe's going to headline Thursday, this coming Thursday, April 27, 8 o'clock at the Sandrell Rivers Theater, 61st and Northwest 7th Avenue in Miami, in connection with the O Miami Poetry Festival. Now, we want you to check us out and join us on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter at O Miami Festival. That's the letter O, Miami Festival. And our website, omiami.org. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Buzz. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. And this is your first trip to Miami.
Yeah, I've never been. I've been to Titusville to visit my uncle a few times. He lives kind of near Cape Canaveral, but never down as far as Miami before.
We almost feel those rockets go off when they do go up there. Titusville
really?
is a great, well, no, I'm just making that up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just a little comedy here. I don't know. We're glad to have you here. You've been the antithesis of a stereotypical comedian. You're soft-spoken. You're almost painfully sincere. Not what generally is known as, for comedians, it's been said you're like a young Garrison Keillor with an Ambien prescription. Does that kind of describe your act?
Yeah, that was, some writer wrote that, and I thought that was funny. I mean, I like Garrison Keillor a lot, and, but I think to become the next Garrison Keillor, you have to murder Garrison Keillor, and I don't want to do that.
So that would not be a good career move for you.
No.
Especially,
it could go one way or the other. It could be great or it could be horrible. I would get a lot of older people very angry with me if I killed Garrison Keillor, I think.
Well, if they didn't know it was you that killed him, that could be a career move. You never know.
Yeah.
But a new guy took over his show, so he's going to be there for a while anyway. So,
yeah, Chris Tile is great. I've listened to some of the new episodes, and they have comedians on doing stand-up, and I think that's really neat. And the music is really, really great, too, now.
The music adds a lot to that. A regular comedian, I'm going to say that, base material on tragedy, they say that comedy is tragedy plus time, but I think you base yours, based on what I've seen, you base yours on real life and present the material and time in a funny way, very different than a regular comedian.
Yeah, I try to. I just kind of try and observe sometimes, I like getting humor from kind of factual type books, like a bit from one of the shows I did for Adult Swim was I just reading a book about rivers, and that kind of inspired a bit. And I know it's kind of boring to talk about the specifics of rivers, but to me that's really funny. Not too long ago I was reading a book about how to manage woods by in case somebody has some kind of acreage around their house.
Yeah.
I live in an apartment, but it was really funny because the guy who wrote it dedicated the book to his wife, and he said because she never complained over 26 years of marriage, even when I went to plant trees every weekend, even on Mother's Day. And I thought that stuff like that is really funny to me because, I don't know, one, there's no way that she didn't complain, and two, perhaps she was having an affair or something. I don't know. It's just kind of stuff like that makes me laugh.
He was planting trees and somebody was planting something in her.
I guess so. I mean,
Yeah.
how it would be very strange if she didn't complain once in 26 years
That would
that
be it.
something else wasn't going on.
Yeah, and that's where you get your material from, real life. You talk
Yeah.
about things that people that we all can relate to.
I hope so.
Yeah. Did you start out? You've been doing comedy for what, 8 years, 10 years?
Just about.
Yeah.
I've been in New York for 7 years now, and I think that that's when I've been performing regularly, and I kind of count that as when I really started. But I had done a little bit at school in upstate New York, and when I was home in Buffalo, I would try and go and perform at the scene there, which was really fun. And yeah, so a little, probably like 10 if you count the dabbling, but 7 real years.
Right. You started out, you were the three-time winner of Ithaca College's stand-up competition.
Yep. It was fun. Looking back, I don't think I could ever tell jokes that I told there again, but I guess they were, it was a good start and an opportunity to perform and get my feet wet and figure out that I really wanted to do it and kind of at least get an idea of what I wanted to do with it.
Oh yeah, it's you went there. You had a Rod Serling Communications Scholarship, and to get that, you have to demonstrate outstanding creative script writing ability, and you certainly got creative with an MTV series where you were a pancake breakfast critic. So tell me about
Yep.
how that came about, a pancake breakfast critic.
It was pretty simple. They were looking for ideas, and I said, how about I go to like fire department and Lions Club, a Moose Lodge, pancake breakfast, and review them. And they said, I don't know why, but they said okay, and it was basically an excuse to get to go to Pancake Breakfast and have MTV's website pay for it. But I really enjoyed it, and yeah, it was fun to make. I should really try and make some more.
On one hand, you could have said, "I'm going to review 5-star restaurants," and could have had them pay for it, but a dollar pancake. They said, "Hey, that's not much. Okay, we can send him over there,"
Yeah.
but those videos turned out really well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I don't know. 5-star dinners don't. I don't think I've ever eaten one, but I don't like eating expensive food because all I can think about is how expensive it is and how I can enjoy it. I think that when I'm eating a $7 pancake breakfast with eggs and bacon and all that, that's a value, and also, the people are nicer to hang out with at places like that than 5-star breakfast.
Sure. Value is important.
Yeah, and also you're supporting a good cause a lot of the time because they're fundraisers, and if you go to a 5-star restaurant or something like that, that's just making somebody exorbitant amount of money. They're just trying to raise money for I don't know, some kind of disease, or just raise money for the fire hall or the town or Boy Scout troop, something like that. You feel much better after a $7 pancake breakfast.
Yeah, and the tip is not as bad either,
No.
as if you're in a 5-star restaurant there.
No. Yeah, so I would always take the pancake breakfast over a 5-star or even a 4-star or 3-star restaurant. I like simple food.
Oh yeah, me too. Do you ever get compared to Stephen Wright? I'm talking about delivery here because he's got a really deadpan delivery. He kind of looks down, he holds his head. And it's just a very monotony type thing. Have you been compared to him?
Well, once in a while, I really appreciate that. It's very nice to be compared to him, but yeah, not too often. One of my favorites is one time a slightly older guy called me a young, awkward Bob Newhart, and I thought that that was pretty great.
An awkward Bob Newhart.
That would be that would be kind of nice. I don't know. I took that as a very high compliment.
Yeah, because Newhart's kind of really up there in presentation
Yeah.
and comedy.
Again, I nowhere close to him, but the guy that occurred to that guy to say that was really nice.
Well, you're working on some really great material. How important to you is the timing and presentation of the material? Because you're not that a line and laugh type in your face comedian. You present it in a very easy way, easy palatable way for an audience to assimilate.
Thanks. Yeah, I just I don't know. I'm big on word economy, and I guess just since I don't speak very fast, I kind of got to make everything count as much as possible. And also, I guess with what I do, I it's kind of a fine line between being completely boring talking about trees and stuff, and mixing in and the punchlines and kind of keeping them on board. As the audience on board, so I just I gotta make sure I'm not boring. That's a big thing.
That is a fine line because when you're talking about trees or rivers, you've got to have something there that they're going to laugh at the end of the little. Otherwise, you're going to go south real fast here.
Hopefully. Then I'm just giving a nature talk live, and they want to see a
Yeah.
comedy show.
Yeah, but, and if you're doing that, you better bring slides with you.
Hey, that's a good idea,
Yeah.
boss.
Hey, just do that PowerPoint, you know.
I
Just do the PowerPoint presentation for them. Everybody's seen them, you know, and it just adds another dimension to the act, right?
That's a good idea. I
Your
really should do that.
delivery is it's heartwarming, and for some people, I think in an audience, it's uncomfortable because it takes a while. Sometimes it takes an amount of time to get to the point, to get to the punchline. As you watch your audience, only you know what's coming. Because you know the material, but when you're looking at, let's say, a particular person in any audience, what do you see in their eyes that make you think that you're boring them or they're ready for the punchline? Do you ever feel that you're making an audience uncomfortable with your delivery?
A little bit. I mean, as a as a fellow performer, you kind of develop over the years just a sense of when they're tuned in or not, and so you can just kind of sense when they're on board. And sometimes I make sure to try and, like every comedian, I guess, to put something up top in my set to earn their trust and make sure that they know, oh, okay, this guy is not just wasting my time completely on stage. And that first thing was funny, so I'll give him a shot and listen through because I know that he's not, or at least I think he's not going to waste my time.
Sure, you've got to get up there and within like 20 or 30 seconds, you've got to let an audience know that you're going to entertain them. And
Right. So
so they're with you, and then they'll give you the slack needed to get into the material that takes a little time to deliver.
right, and that's why I'm really excited to do the show on Thursday because in New York I end up doing maybe 10-minute sets quite a bit of the time. So it's almost like by the time I've earned their trust and the ability to take them places, the set is over. And with the hour show on Thursday, it feels like I guess hopefully I'll be able to get everybody on board in the first bit, and then really get to have some fun and really kind of do some neat things on stage once we kind of establish that I'm not a bore, I hope.
So you added "I hope," but you know that really, come on, you're a polished performer. You know your act, and we are looking forward to seeing you there. That's going to be Thursday, this coming Thursday, April 27th, 8 o'clock at the Sandrell Rivers Theater, 61st and Northwest 7th Avenue in Miami, and that's in connection with a month-long O Miami Poetry Festival. But we're looking forward to seeing an hour's worth of your material. That's going to be great. So you're going to make us laugh on Thursday night. What makes you laugh? Who's your comic muse here?
Oh, I got a lot of them.
All right. I'm going to list them. Go ahead.
I don't know off the top. I guess two of my favorites right now to watch are Hannibal Buress and Rory Scovel. And I also like my friend Joe Firestone is wonderful to watch. And I always admire Sean Patton. I don't know if you know him, but he's a guy who he can do stories, he could do tight jokes, and he can also just work a room with crowd work for as long as he needs to. And it's that combination is really inspiring to watch. I guess there's a lot of older guys too from previous generations, but those are the people and Cate Berlant too. Those are the people that I really find inspiring to watch.
It's a right very now. Vibrant scene in New York right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say. Yeah. Also, I got my friend Connor O'Malley, who I write with a lot, and he's very funny. He's very different style of comedy. He's very, I don't know about crass, but it's definitely loud, and I get a kick out of watching him all the time.
When you first started out, when you first were in college and you were doing creative writing and script writing, things like that, at what point did you decide to become a comedian? Because there is a point that, you know, where you just think, I may do this for fun or for a little while or to test some material that I'm writing. And at what point did you find out that it was viable for you and just to continue? And what did your family say when you told them at some point, I guess, that you were going to be a comedian, a performer?
Well, I'd kind of been secretly writing jokes with my friend Dan Licata since high school, and we just were big comedy fans. I got the opportunity to perform at school. I didn't really tell my parents for quite some time, and I don't know. They were fairly supportive when I did tell them. I think that as long as I don't I can support myself and don't do drugs, they don't really mind. They're pretty good and understanding parents. Not to say my dad doesn't like to tease me, but I think finally I kind of won. I don't know. It was a nice moment when I did the Seth Meyers show for the first time, and they were able to come and watch that live. And I felt that was like a really nice moment where it was like, maybe, you know, I can make a career out of this, and they could see that in person. And that was a really nice night. Well, that was.
It was kind of Americana there when you called out your parents from the stage and sitting there with Seth. Really cool. You know, people, that was an aww moment, you know, for people. You know, it's something you don't often see. You hardly see it at all. Okay, let's say you never see that. So, and you made it work. It was great. And you're establishing yourself with Late Night. What are you going to be doing coming up in New York or on the air for us to check out? Also, your website, joepera.com is your website.
Uh-huh.
Where will you be performing coming up?
I got a regular show every Tuesday night in Brooklyn that is called the New York Distilling Company, and it's every Tuesday night at 8 and it's free. So anybody who's ever in New York for a visit, I really think that if you like my comedy, they like my that of my co-host and the people we book. And it's, I know a free show makes it sound like a bad one, but it really is a nice time. And I'm kind of tinkering on some other stuff for Adult Swim. Nothing confirmed yet, but just more stuff where I kind of just ramble about stuff and a TV show.
Well, you ramble really well. I don't know if that was a compliment. You're a good rambler. You know, you can, let's just ramble here a little bit. I enjoyed it when Conan O'Brien said promoed your show at the bar.
Yeah, it was really funny.
It was funny to hear that coming from him. But hey, yeah. it's a step up, man. You know, it's really cool.
Yeah, I feel bad that we made him say that on one hand, but it must have been funny to think what he was thinking. Like, gosh, what am I doing? Why am I promoting a bar show on air?
But you know, in a way, it was just what you need. It's just just the type of promotion that you love to have.
I mean, they can't come from anybody better. It was just they said, "What do you want to promote?" And I didn't have anything else. But we are proud of the weekly show, and we've been doing it for 4 years. So
you should have had him say, "And you know, they have $3 shot specials until 11 p.m. or something." And as long as he asks, you know, let's go all the way with this, you know.
Well, believe it or not, the bartender there, Garrett, is a really nice guy, and I actually requested at the end that they say, "And Garrett will be bartending," but it didn't make it to air, and I completely understand.
Oh, we got to have the same mind as it pertains to that. Yeah, that's very cool. That's cool. Then you do a Dan plus Joe plus Charles show. That's the show.
Yep.
Yeah. So weekly stand-up. That's good to keep going there and you write all the time.
It's good for that because there's a maybe about a third of the audience comes back every week. So it forces you to write because you don't want them to get upset or bored at you if you come into the show and you're doing the same jokes every week. So it's a good kind of a motivating thing to keep writing for that show specifically. When you know the same people are coming on, you don't want to let them down, and you want to keep them interested.
Well, that's where your improv skills come in, right?
Sometimes. I don't know. I don't improvise too much in my stand-up act, though I'd like to get there someday because I think that'd be really neat to... I'm trying to do it more, but
it was kind of startling for me to see the end of the Conan O'Brien show where you ended up talking about an audience member's son.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. You know, it's unexpected. You took it in a place that no one expected it to go. You involved the audience. You walked over there. You showed one person the cartoon. You know, or what you showed them, which I thought was brilliant to go over there and do that. It was nice improv.
I'll send you the photo.
that's very nice. That's very nice.
But I don't know. I guess I thought that that audience would have been more timid because when I do the bit live, people usually need a little bit of encouragement to start responding. But boy, that audience just started yelling out answers at me all at once. And, I just thought to myself, well, you did this to yourself. This is your fault.
You better get out of it now. How do I dig myself out of this one? You know, you're thinking, because when you get into an audience, at a late night show, they're told what to do and how to act.
Right.
And and they're warmed up and they're ready for it. And then you just shot their system all to hell.
I guess so. They wanted to talk. It was a good thing in the end. But
it worked out really well. Well, we are looking forward to seeing you on Thursday, this coming Thursday. Let me just say it again: the Sandro Rivers Theater, 61st and Northwest 7th Avenue in Miami. This is in connection with the O Miami Poetry Festival. This is a month-long poetry festival. Do you know what their mission is? They want every single person in Miami-Dade County, that's I guess over 2.5 million people, to encounter a poem during the month at some point. So they've got poetry coming at them from everywhere. It's a wonderful way to get people involved in poetry. Which could be part of our lives. I don't know. I like poetry. There's a difference between prose and poetry. Prose is there was a young lady from Glass who fell into mud up to her knees. That's prose. If she fell in any further, it would have been poetry. That I guess is the difference. But we're looking forward. Thank you for laughing. We're looking forward to seeing you Thursday night and meeting you as well. Are you going to meet the ordinary people after the show?
Yeah, of course.
The average fan, because we'd love to meet you.
If there's anybody who wants to say hello, I'll be standing there like an idiot after the show, I'm sure. So, free.
Well, we're gonna come right up and take a picture of you in your sweater and khakis, which I think it's almost like a Perry Como thing. He wore a sweater and that was his persona, you know, and you just you come across as the everyman, but you startle and you amaze us with your comedy. Keep going. It is really great and very nice talking with you here this morning.
Yeah. Same, Buzz. I really appreciate you having me on.
Sure enough. Once again, Joe Pera. Go to joepera.com. This has been a special presentation of On the Record and Off the Wall. I thank you all for listening. And, Joe, we're looking forward to seeing you Thursday night at the Sandrell Rivers Theater in connection with the O Miami Poetry Festival. Thank you very much.
You too, bud.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye.